Last week, we started 3 John, and today we'll finish the short letter of 3 John. As I closed last week, I said we would look at the opposite of Gaius. In 3 John, we are introduced to a godly man named Gaius that we talked about last week. He walked in the truth. He was very hospitable to the brothers who traveled in the area teaching and preaching the truth. John shows his appreciation for his faithful ministry. He was committed to living out his Christianity in truth and love. He was also committed to being a fellow worker for the truth, as verse 8 tells us, as we've talked about this morning. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. He did his part of welcoming the brothers. He welcomed them into his home and provided for them so that they could do their part of teaching and preaching the gospel. In the second half of this letter, in the next several verses, we are introduced to 2 more people. And as I said last week, whenever there are people, fallen people, whenever there are people involved, there are problems. Many years ago, when I was working in retail sales, I would joke that this would be the perfect job if it weren't for the customers, if it weren't for the people coming and causing problems. In the second half of this letter, we are introduced to Diotrephes and Demetrius. And as we will see, they are 2 very different people that John is going to tell Gaius about in this letter. So turn with me, if you haven't turned already, to 3 John. And we'll be reading verses 9 through 15 as we finish 3 John today and as we finish the 3 letters of John. So 3 John, verses 9 through 15, I'll read that this morning. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. So first we're going to look at the wrong example. We're going to look at the wrong example or the problem John has to address in this letter to Gaius. It is unbelievable to think that a church leader would not have fellowship with one of the Lord's very own apostles, an apostle that was in the Lord's inner circle. Diotrephes could have learned so much from John, especially about love and loving one another. But Jesus Christ was not preeminent in his life. Therefore, Diotrephes could treat the apostle this way. This next section of 3 John brings us to the center of the problem that John, or the elder, as he calls himself, is writing about. He has already addressed a letter to the church through its leader, Diotrephes, As verse 9 tells us, I have written something to the church. That letter is lost or even destroyed by Diotrephes. It is said or surmised that the letter's contents are not difficult to imagine. Based on what we know John wrote to Gaius, we can assume that he had written the church asking them to extend hospitality to the traveling missionaries that he has sent out. It may also have included a request for support that would help speed them on their way. Diotrephes chose to ignore the elder's instruction, either by suppressing the letter or opposing the request and not submitting it to the congregation. He also threatened to put out any in the church who were considering offering hospitality to the elders' missionaries. In fact, some had already been forced out of the church. Why Diotrephes rejected and opposed John is not completely clear. John's statement that Diotrephes likes to put himself first could mean a personal rivalry, or it could mean something more. A few different commentaries use the word dictator or dictatorial ego when referring to Diotrephes. John's prominence and influence in the community was long-lasting. Diotrephes may have been jealous by the elders' continued influence over the church Diotrephes was leading. He may have seen John as a threat to his perceived power. John had the authority of an apostle and knew the truth about Diotrephes and was willing to make it known. Diotrephes was functioning on the basis of pride and self-glorification. If John came to the church, he would expose him for his true nature. John the elder commends Gaius for his faithfulness to the truth and for living according to that truth. There are a few different ideas as to what the problem Diotrephes has with John and why he did not acknowledge his authority, as the end of verse 9 tells us. This could indicate that John suspected Diotrephes of wavering in his opposition to the false teachers that are in the area. Could it be that the statement from Diotrephes, not recognizing John's authority, or, as verse 10 says, talking wicked nonsense against us and refusing to welcome the brothers, indicates that there is not really a committed, or he's not really committed to love and to love one another that John has focused on and committed to teaching the congregation? If so, Diotrephes has not shown any theological deviation regarding the person of Christ. If he did deviate from this doctrine, and based on the other actions, we can be certain that John would have exposed him and pronounced him to be a false teacher and a false prophet. But there is no indication of this, so we must assume that he did not deviate from the doctrine of Christ. But the opposition from Diotrephes would have an effect on John's ministry and position in the congregation, and it would have made it easier for false teachers to come in and spread their false doctrine. Another case that was suggested for the problem may have been that the elder may have extended the activity of the missionaries in order to fight the surge of false teaching, the false teachers that were flooding the area. The presence of these missionaries would have been an effective deterrent to stop the progress of false teachers and would have strengthened the hand of the elder in dealing with the threat to the gospel. But these actions may have been resented by Diotrephes, as challenging the local authority of the local church. The wicked nonsense referred to may have been that the elder was using the presence of false teachers as a pretext for establishing his own authority over the churches. Again, it is not exactly spelled out why Diotrephes has a problem with John. We see why John has a problem with him. Also, we do not know exactly how Gaius fits into all of this. We do know that he is a faithful servant, walking in the truth. He is living out his devotion to God and his devotion to the progress, the spread of the gospel, by being a fellow worker for the truth, as verse 8 tells us. There are several theories on how Gaius fits into this with John and Diotrephes. He could have been a leader of another local church in the area, and on that basis, John writes to him this letter. The thought behind this is that if Gaius was in the same church as Diotrephes, he would know firsthand what he was doing, and John would not have to write to him telling him his actions. Another thought is that they are in the same church, but Gaius lives in another village a ways away and did not know all that was taking place in the church. This way, they could be in the same church, but the letter was needed to let him know what was taking place. Again, it is not laid out exactly for us, but on the overall level, that is okay, as long as we see the harsh difference between the hospitality and love of Gaius and the selfishness of Diotrephes. Lastly, it is said the problem could have come from the transition from an apostle ruling and overseeing the churches to the local churches taking the lead of their own church. As John would have been the last of the apostles possessing apostolic authority, the tension between Diotrephes and John could have been over leadership of the church. But again, this is not exactly laid out in this letter, and there is no sufficient evidence to back this up. We do know that John does not object to Diotrephes having authority, but he does object to the misuse of the authority. The real conflict is not between two types of belief. It is between two levels of commitment to the work of God. Diotrephes is more interested in furthering his own position than he is interested in furthering the work of God. Verse 10, "So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and put them out of the church." John intended to deal with Diotrephes. John's statement that "I will bring up what he is doing" suggests that John planned to confront Diotrephes, perhaps personally, and if he did not completely repent, he would expose his actions before the whole church. There seemed to be an implication that his conduct was not completely known to the congregation, and it may have been John's hope that once they did know, the church would take a stand on his position. A lot is happening in this verse 10. We see that John, who is known as the apostle of love, is using strong words and strong response to Diotrephes. Could this be a contradiction to his teaching on love? I don't think so. More likely, it is a response of someone who is concerned for the sake of the gospel and not wanting to see it threatened by hypocritical conduct from one of the teachers of the gospel. Diotrephes' actions against John were shameful by any standard, but they were even more so because he probably had been in fellowship with John. He knew the message of love that had been taught, and most likely, at one time, he had pledged to live a life according to the commandment given by Jesus Christ. For a leader of a church to give in to personal resentment and selfish ambition was unthinkable. We can see that Diotrephes lies about John. He rejected John's workers for the truth, his missionaries, and he disciplined those who disagreed with him, talking wicked nonsense against us. He was spreading lies and nonsense about John. People who might not know John or trust this person in leadership could believe the nonsense being spread about him. Sadly, it did not stop at John. It extended to the brothers who were trying to teach the word of God. He refused to welcome the brothers, John says. The hospitality due to the missionary brothers in order to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God has been singled out and stopped. And they were denied the welcome, the hospitality due them as fellow workers of the household of faith. Because they were sent out from John, they suffered the consequence of guilt by association. Diotrephes rejected John and then rejected the believers associated with John. But then he went even further. The harshest treatment of all had been directed to those who wanted to extend hospitality to the brothers. The verse says, also stops those who want to extend hospitality and puts them out of the church because they had dared to disobey him on this matter. They had been put out of the congregation. The church members who received John's missionaries were put out of the church. Again, like the missionary sent by John, this was guilt by association. This contradiction to the gospel by word and deed, as done by Diotrephes, could not be condoned. And it was not. If the elder and all those who believed like him remained silent in the face of such total rejection of the truth and the life of the gospel, for them to keep silent would have been as hypocritical as Diotrephes' actions. John had to speak the truth. It was not a pleasant experience that awaited the elder, but truth without love is not living truth at all. Diotrephes was pointed out not because he violated sound teaching regarding the person and nature of Jesus Christ, but because his life was a contradiction to the truth of the gospel. This disorder required action by John and the congregation. Most of the division in local churches and between other churches is a result from personalities more than anything else. If only Diotrephes and all of us would follow the New Testament principle of making the person and work of Jesus Christ our test for fellowship and not association, not personalities, not interpretations of non-essential doctrines, the test of fellowship. If we did this, we would be able to avoid a lot of problems in the church. But people like Diotrephes will always have followers because many sincere but immature and untaught believers follow such leaders. So we see the wrong example. Now we'll look at the exhortation in the following verses. We see the wrong example with Diotrephes. And now in the next few verses, we are going to see John's exhortation to Gaius. John, the elder, exhorts Gaius to not imitate evil. We see this in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. He is encouraging Gaius to continue to do good. Diotrephes could have been pressuring Gaius to give up his support of John and his hospitality of the brothers. In that case, Gaius would have no choice but to take a stand for what he knew to be true. We must take a stand for the truth and not give in to pressure or teaching that is contrary to that truth. Imitate good, John tells him. Truth, love, and righteousness have been modeled first in Jesus Christ, and then by those who are faithful to his commandments. In Christ, these attributes, truth, love, and righteousness, are available to all who love God and desire to obey his commands. To live them out in our lives proves that we are from God. All goodness is from him. Our perseverance in goodness provides that in Jesus Christ we have seen God. We know we can do this only through the grace of God that he graciously gives to his children. We know this all starts with that first step of salvation, and it is only possible because of his victory over death, because of the cross, because of his great sacrifice for you and for me, and his raising from the dead, that we can have eternal security in our salvation. It is through grace alone, in faith alone, that we can have forgiveness of sin and be called a child of God. We are introduced to another person in verse 12, Demetrius. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Demetrius, unlike Diotrephes, was a man worth imitating because he had a good testimony from everyone, as verse 12 says. John felt it important for Gaius to know and trust him. Apparently, he was also a supporter of John the elder. Some have speculated that Demetrius was carrying the letter or that he was a traveling missionary. The elder honors him with what he has to say about him. He receives a good testimony from everyone. He is well spoken of from the truth itself. Then John himself speaks well of him. Also add our testimony, as the verse says. The strong backing of Demetrius leads us to think he had been given special instruction that required trust. But again, that is not specifically written out, as John did not give any additional details of him in this letter. Even though there is not a lot of information or details about Demetrius, we can see from this verse that he was a person that walked in the truth, as Gaius did. His life matched his confession. He manifested the fruits of the Spirit, and he lived a life of love. This does not mean that either of these men were perfect, but it does mean that they were consistent in their lives, seeking to honor the Lord. What an amazing testimony to have, to be walking in the truth. This is what John is referring to in verse 11 when he tells him to imitate good and not evil. I think we can read through the lines and come to the conclusion to imitate Demetrius and do not imitate Diotrephes. We can also learn from this that it is very important that we do not just follow a man or a teacher strictly because they are in a position. We can see it would be detrimental to the church if all the people like Gaius, people committed to the truth, just follow Diotrephes because of his position. This is why, as I have said before, it is vitally important that we know the truth and that we follow the truth and not a person. If, like Demetrius, a person follows the truth, then that is a person to follow, to imitate, But we must be careful not to imitate or follow someone just because they are popular or charismatic. Next, we come to the final greeting, John's final greeting. In the final verses, we come to John's final greeting. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll be able to talk face to face. That's verses 13 and 14. John's statement that he wishes to write more parallels 2 John, the ending of 2 John. It is characteristic of his style, as it also is his desire to see Gaius soon and talk with him face to face. John, the elder, had much to write, he says, much to discuss with Gaius and the congregation. These things he would rather deal with in person rather than with pen and ink, as he closes verse 13 with. And then verse 15, the closing verse, bears witness to the warm relationship existing between John and Gaius. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. John extends peace to him, knowing that his situation may become very difficult in the days ahead. He also reminds him that all who are with John are also with Gaius. John's friends are also his friends. Then he concludes by asking Gaius to greet his friends in the church. He wanted Gaius to convey his greeting to his friends personally. John was not only concerned about the church, but he was also concerned with the individuals in the church. It is interesting to contrast these two short letters and see the emphasis of truth that John presents. 2 John was written to a local congregation that John calls the elect lady and her children, while 3 John was written to a godly man. John warned the elect lady, the congregation, about false teachers from outside the church. But he warns Gaius about incorrect leaders inside the church. The false teachers in 2 John would appeal to love so they could deny truth, while Diotrephes would appeal to truth, but in a most unloving way, he would attack the brothers. How important it is to walk in the truth and in love, and hold the truth in love, to claim to love the truth and yet hate the brothers is to be ignorant of what the Christian life is all about. When God's people love, when they love him, when they love the truth, and when they love one another, then the Spirit of God is at work in that congregation to glorify Jesus Christ. But when people, including leadership, become proud and tries to have preeminence, then the Spirit is grieved. Yes, it is vitally important that we know the truth, but it's not enough to just know the truth. We must live out that truth in love in our everyday life. Diotrephes knew the truth, but he did not live out that truth in love. If he did, he would have been given to hospitality and open to receiving John and his brothers. Instead, he chose to know the truth and not live it out in his life, which is the opposite of what we see in Gaius and Demetrius. They also knew the truth, but they lived that truth out in their daily life. It was evident in their hospitality and in their testimony that they loved and lived the truth, and that they loved one another as well. What we need are more people like Gaius and Demetrius walking in the truth and walking in love. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, our Heavenly Father, how truly grateful we are to be able to come and look into your word. And Lord, as we see how vitally important the truth is, the truth of Jesus Christ, your Son, being fully God and fully man, coming to this world to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord, we know that truth. We love that truth. But Lord, help us in our daily life to live out that truth. Lord, help us to be people given to hospitality. Lord, help us to be people given to further the truth, to further that gospel message through our fellowship with believers. Lord, we love your word. We help us to live in your word. Lord, help us to live out our belief, our truth, as we live a godly life. And Lord, we ask that as we do this, we know that it is through your grace that we are able to live a life that is worthy, that is honorable to you. So Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace that we need, the mercy that we need every day to walk in the truth. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.